This is MuggleCast, your Harry Potter and Fantastic Beasts podcast covering everything about J.K. Rowling's magical world. This week's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is the leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/MuggleCast. Welcome to MuggleCast episode 276. It's a big episode because it's our first regular episode, as part of the reboot.
In a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Eric and Mike are here. It's the start of a new adventure, guys.
The role of Andrew Sims will be played by Andrew Garfield in this reboot.
Okay.
Let's introduce Andrew Garfield.
I wish. That would be very cool. But we have two guests here this week to kick off this new era of MuggleCast. With every episode, I think we're going to have Micah, Eric, and I, and then we're going to have another person, or maybe two. In this case, we have Laura and Elisa on, two MuggleCast alums. Hey, ladies.
Hey, it's good to be back.
Yeah, it's great to hear from you both. Of course,
it's been such a long time, can I just say that, since we spoke with each other?
Yeah, we don't podcast together anymore, so... It's been
literally,
like, what, 6 years or something?
Well,
it's been a long time.
Or 6 hours, depending on how you want to look at it.
Micah and Laura are full of sarcasm because Elisa, Laura, Micah, up until 2 days ago, Matt and I all host this new podcast called Millennial at millennialshow.com. And we'll talk about that later. But that's part of the reason why Laura and Elisa are on today. We wanted to tell you about our new podcast as well. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to test their knowledge of Harry Potter because it's been a while since they've been on MuggleCast. So,
oh boy, this is gonna be bad.
Prepare to be disappointed.
That's okay. So anyway, like we teased on the last episode, which was in December, we're starting up monthly episodes. We will do one every month. We don't have a certain time of month yet where we're going to be recording them. We're not sure if we're going to have a certain day of the month where these are out, but you are going to get a new episode every month. And even if we do set into a schedule, there may come a time when, say, a Fantastic Beasts teaser trailer comes out, or we learn that Matt Smith is going to play Newt Scamander in Fantastic Beasts. We're going to do a podcast probably right away or as soon as we can. So new monthly episodes. We also have new album arts. Eric, Woo! Tell us about the new album art that actually you designed, sort of.
Yes. The new design is actually based off of an image drawing by Jim Kay, who is in charge of the new illustrated Harry Potter editions that will be hitting store shelves soon. And it's a drawing of Hermione. And instead of holding a jar full of blue flame, like she does in the first book, she's holding an iPhone. And the iPhone has MuggleCast playing. So it's actually keeping with the theme that we've had in our previous MuggleCast artwork. If you guys remember, I believe the premier artwork for MuggleCast back in 05 was the U.S. Half-Blood Prince cover. No, wait, yes. Yes, with Dumbledore and Harry pouring over the basin, and then it moved on to the Deathly Hallows. So we actually got some submissions because we put a tweet out asking for some user submissions, and we really liked those, but I feel like I wanted
that's
to do something that was more along the exact lines of what we did before. So it's a little bit of the old, little bit of the new is the thing, because it is a new drawing of Hermione, but it's Hermione from like year one, which is so long ago.
Yeah.
So.
And we are going to take the art that you guys created and put them on MuggleCast.com, because we know a lot of people put some time into them. But ultimately, we really liked what Eric did, and that new art that's from the new illustrated Harry Potter books. We liked it so much. It just seemed to work so well. So we ended up.
It's kind of an indicator of like what is currently happening as well with the Harry Potter series. Like if we had a new book cover, like a new book coming out, or even a poster from Fantastic Beasts, I'm sure that's what would have been used.
Yeah.
But so it's kind of keeping with the times while at the same time throwing back.
Right. So we got a lot to do today. We got some news. We've got some old segments. We got some new segments. So let's get right into it. We're going to start with some news, as we always do towards the top of the show. Not exactly surprise, but Stuart Craig, the Harry Potter production designer, basically you can thank him for the look and feel of the Harry Potter movies, the visual aspects of them. He's back for Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Woo!
And we also found out in the same report that shooting for the new spinoff is going to begin this summer. And that's part of the reason why we wanted to start this podcast now, because casting is going to be starting up soon.
Yeah. No, it's a good time. I mean, we've had a nice little break here, but coming back in and knowing that things are really, the cauldron's starting to heat up again, if I can be super cheesy. But Stuart Craig coming back for Fantastic Beasts is an interesting, well, I mean, it's kind of a obvious choice. But I feel like that way the films will look as close to each other as they want them to. You know, it's good degree of creative control, keeping the Wizarding World looking the same, even though this is going to be set, you know, 80 years prior and in America.
Yeah. I mean, I said previously that they're bringing back David Yates to direct. By the way, Elisa and Laura, I may be breaking some news to you. They're David Yates.
I mean, I'm not totally.
They
out
knew
of
all life. Of this.
Okay.
They did
are
know that.
Diehard Potter fans. They binge read on the weekends. Come on.
Well, so what do you two think of that? Do you guys like David Yates' Harry Potter movies, the final four?
Yes. And also, I like the fact that they're bringing some degree of consistency to this as well. I think, like Eric said, it's going to like have the original quality of the Wizarding World that we're used to.
Yeah.
I think that's really important for the continued success of this new venture. I'm excited about it.
I agree. I thought David Yates actually did the best job of anyone, just in terms of being able to capture the story, but at the same time, not make it too childish. You know, like there was a dark element to his style of directing. So I think he did the best job of depicting this series. I think he's the perfect choice for this movie.
Interesting. I've previously described this whole setup as being the Fantastic Beasts being too big to fail. You have J.K. Rowling as the screenwriter.
Yeah, she's writing the movie.
You have
it's not being adapted. She's writing it.
Well, right. And then you have David Yates directing. You got Stuart Craig back. You've got David Heyman producing. It's the same exact crew.
And Steve Clovis, apparently, according to this article.
No, that's true. Oh, yeah, Warner Brothers did confirm that. And I mean,
screenwriter.
Well, no. I think he's helping write.
Rowling.
Right. Yeah. Because J.K. Rowling doesn't know how to write a screenplay. It's a whole different beast.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I think I've said this before, and part of me wonders if J.K. Rowling only agreed to this series of films because she knew that she could really have the say in terms of who would ultimately be responsible for producing, directing. You know, a lot of these positions, they're filled by people who have worked on the Potter film. So maybe it was something of a comfort level for her.
Mm-hmm. There's a trust that has developed between this large group of people. They mentioned even a guy that David Heyman mentioned on our 200th MuggleCast episode, Lionel Wigram, who's producing even this as well as the Harry Potter films as well. And so like all these people know for so long, and they have this very lucrative, to use a negative word, but in it meaning in a good way, business relationship that produces such quality.
We're going to continue with today's episode in just a moment, but first it's time to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. They are the internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For listeners of MuggleCast, Audible is offering you a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their great service, and I have a fantastic recommendation for you this week. I read this one about 2 months ago, and I'm still thinking about it. It's called The Girl on the Train. This is by Paula Hawkins. You've probably seen it, maybe at Barnes & Noble, maybe you've heard about it online. It is a fantastic book. It's a whodunit, and it is so good. If you liked Gone Girl, That's what everybody's comparing this book to. I highly recommend it. I didn't get a chance to read Gone Girl before I saw the movie. And immediately after I saw the movie, I'd wished that I read it first. This book, you have to try. Experience it now before it turns into a movie, because it will. It's called The Girl on the Train. It's a whodunit. While you wait for J.K. Rowling's next whodunit, get this one. You can listen to it for free by going to audiblepodcast.com/mugglecast. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/mugglecast to get a free audiobook of your choice. And we thank Audible for their support of the show. Moving on, there's this new J.K. Rowling book out, sort of. It's called J.K. Rowling, A Bibliography. And basically, it seems really interesting and also really expensive. It chronicles the publication of every J.K. Rowling book from 1997 to 2013. So that means, obviously, includes the entire Harry Potter series, plus The Cuckoo's Calling and The Casual Vacancy. And this is more for academic purposes, which is why it costs over $100. But it was written by somebody outside of J.K. Rowling's world, but he worked closely with the Harry Potter publishers in the U.S. and the U.K. and J.K. Rowling herself. Even J.K. Rowling admitted that she is, quote, in awe of the level of detail and amount of time Philip has dedicated to this slavishly thorough and somewhat mind-boggling bibliography, end quote. And it includes things like changes in each edition of the Harry Potter book. So like when a second edition, a reprint happened within the for a Harry Potter book, it notes all the little corrections that were made as well.
I'm looking at that right now.
Yeah.
It's mainly the decision to capitalize certain letters in different editions.
Yeah. And just but like goofy things, like this one example for Philosopher's Stone, page 56, lines 17 and 18. 17 sickles an ounce to 16 sickles an ounce.
They like, changed why? The exchange rate.
Yeah. Why? Why did this happen?
It probably in terms of alliteration, I would imagine. Like,
well,
if
17
you, like,
sickles and 16 sickles are both alliterative.
True, but I guess I'm thinking in terms of the actual like phonemes of these words. Like you have sick and like that sick sound in 16 and sickles.
Wow. We're talking about phonemes on MuggleCast. No, that's impressive. I didn't even think about that.
Well, how about on page 72, line 25? It used to say a shiny silver badge, and now it says a shiny red and gold badge.
Ooh.
What does it
mean? Anti-alliterative.
I have no idea.
No, I will say I really like the rejected titles, though. They list them here for Goblet of Fire, and I'm happy that you went with Goblet of Fire.
Oh, gosh.
Because Harry Potter and the Death Eaters doesn't really cut it. Harry Potter and the Fire Goblet, that doesn't work.
Fire and, Goblet.
And Harry Potter and the
Sounds
Three
like
Champions.
A bad translation.
Yeah, exactly. Like you put it into Google Translate and that's what it spits back out.
So, it's it just seems really fascinating. Again, you can purchase this. Physical copies go on sale in April for $120. You can actually get a Kindle version now for $80.
I would love it if they used this as like a jumping off point to just completely rewrite something. Like if it said like, oh, and then actually, in the new edition, Harry ends up getting together with Hermione. And everyone's like, what? Like, what? It doesn't say that anywhere. I don't remember seeing that. J.K. Rowling's just like,
Who's going to fact check this fact checker?
Who's
right.
Right.
Who's going to take on that massive project?
You know what I think? I think J.K. Rowling should give away some copies on Twitter.
She should. That'd be cool. Good promotional tactic. Get in touch with her, Micah. You follow her now.
I'm going to tweet at her.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell her that this is what she should do.
You get going on that.
You think
I would
it'll
probably
work?
Buy something like this, though. I think it's really interesting.
I do, too.
Yeah.
More interesting than Goblet of Fire.
Whoa. Some
tell
old
us how
school
you really
hatred
help, y'all.
From old school Harry Potter books. I don't
Elisa
remember
and Laura, do you follow J.K. Rowling on Twitter?
I do.
Yeah, but I don't follow Twitter.
Let's re-ask that question in like 3 minutes. Guys, go follow J.K. Rowling on Twitter.
No, I do follow her. I haven't really noticed that she says a whole lot, or maybe she has increased.
She has increased
the amount with which she tweets recently. I feel like in the last few months, she's commented on a lot of really big news stories. But previously, I remember I would go to her page and there were like two tweets on it. So I just sort of stopped paying attention.
Well, the reason I ask is because Micah refused to follow her up until December. And that was way after she started tweeting more. So I'm just curious.
Wait, why?
He's just weird like that.
Well, here's the reason.
Power play.
It is.
That's exactly what it was.
No, she didn't say anything. She kept saying the same thing. Pen and paper are my priority.
Pen and paper.
Over and over again. So I didn't feel a need to follow somebody who doesn't tweet. You know, if I follow somebody, I want to see what they have to say.
All right.
And now she is the most interesting person on Twitter.
In other news, we've known for a while that the Harry Potter books are going to be republished as fully illustrated novels. And for a while, we were left wondering what fully illustrated means. And now we're finally finding out. In January, Amazon revealed that Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, the fully illustrated edition, is going to cost $30, at least after the Amazon discount, and consists of 256 pages. According to the book's description, there will be over 100 illustrations, which averages out to just over 5 illustrations per chapter. I did the math and figured that out.
Yeah, I'm glad you did the math on that. That sheds a lot of light onto how many, I mean, just how often you'll be breaking the eye from text to image.
Didn't they just take the illustrations from Pottermore and put them into a book?
No, I don't think they're doing that.
No, the Pottermore ones are too general. Like they're too, right. They're supposed to be, because it's right. It's like supposed to be what your imagination.
Right. You don't see the characters' faces.
Yeah. Which, you know, that's interesting because I remember that was a whole big thing with Pottermore. They were like, yeah, you know, we really set out to not change what people had in their heads with the characters, which, like Micah said, that's why they didn't show the faces. Right. But now with this one, we've seen some illustrations, and we know they're showing the faces.
Yeah, it's the artist. It's Jim Kay's interpretation.
Yeah, Hermione's in our album art, for crying out loud.
Right. Yeah, guys, click left on your phone two times. You'll see our image. That's Hermione. But yeah, so they've gone back to, or not really gone back to, but it's a different thing, right? When you're selling a book, the actual Harry Potter book, it's okay to have this artist rendering, because it's just like the Mary Grand Prix with the chapter header images that the American books had.
Yeah.
It was her interpretation of what each character looked like.
And I think, we don't know for sure, but it looks like these books are going to be wide, kind of. If you look at the placeholder art, you see that the book doesn't look like the standard dimensions of a book, that it looks wider. And I think that's why this thing is only 256 pages and can also accommodate 100 illustrations with the full book.
Mm-hmm.
So
now, is the copy changed at all, though, to make it more simplistic?
Yes, they're changing 17 sickles to 16 sickles.
Well, I don't know if you're. It seems like
you can't count that high yet.
Yeah, I can. So it's good that they're doing that. It does seem, though, that these are children's books, right? Or is it just illustrating them? Because that was the question I was going to throw out to the group. Really, is, you know, do you think this makes them seem more like children's books because they're being illustrated?
Yeah.
And obviously not all children's books, or not all adult books, you know, that have illustrations are considered childish in nature. But I'm saying, you know, for such a long time, the series carried this stigma of being a children's book series. And so many people argued against the point, saying, no, it's not just for children. Do you think that this kind of goes against that?
I don't really know their intentions behind
money doing this anyway.
Yeah. But I mean, there are all sorts of editions of popular books that get released like this with illustrations. I'm pretty sure they've done it with, I mean, Lord of the Rings, for instance. I'm fairly certain I've seen copies of it like that. I think it would just boil down to how quote unquote childish the illustrations themselves look. And to me, what I've seen so far, it doesn't look cartoonish.
No, they look great.
They look really, really nice.
I mean, the level of detail, it's going to be so fun just paging through these and seeing what he came up with. Because I know there was one piece of art, I can't remember which one, but a character was standing in front of a door, I think, in Hogwarts, and there was tons of these etchings of names and stuff on the door.
Oh, that's actually the Hermione shot.
The Hermione shot, okay.
It is, but it's, in fact, somebody who saw the album art, I don't have their username, but they suggested that we secretly scrawl our name on the door.
Oh, so right.
Yeah. Maybe we'll update that album art, but anyway.
So do you guys think you'll buy these, or at least buy the first one?
I'd like to. I'd like to. This is a different way to experience the books because there's, I don't know, it's like it's official pictures. Art because it's coming from. Yeah, but it's like I wonder what it's going to be like to actually read through the book and then have the pictures each page. That'll be a different experience, right? There's only so many times you can reread the original books. There's only so many times you can watch the movies. So now here's a different way of experiencing the series. And it's kind of cool that it's all new, you know, fully realized art. Over 100 pieces just in the first book. I think it'll be cool. This excites me more than the 10th anniversary, you know, with just the same book with a different cover.
Right. And by the way, these are going to be coming out once a year. So the first book comes out October 6, 2015, and then the next one will come out in 2016 and so forth. So it's going to take a while for all these to be published. Understandably so, because there's going to be so many illustrations, especially in the bigger ones, like Order of the Phoenix. It's probably... we'll probably have over 200 illustrations.
Yeah. By the time these all come out, it'll have been like 25 years since I picked the books up for the first time.
Oh, yeah. By then, J.K. Rowling's going to be working on Harry Potter 8. Nobody's going to care about these illustrated books. Wait, what?
What?
So, moving on, I wanted to mention, have you guys heard of these Funko Pop vinyl figurines?
Yes.
They're taking over the world.
They're super...
What's this?
They're super popular figurines. Funko teams up with all of these brands, including Disney and Game of Thrones. Every show and movie, and anyone popular, has pop vinyl figures. Mm-hmm. And for the longest time, people have wondered, when are the Harry Potter figures coming? When are they coming? And finally, they were announced in February at the New York Toy Fair. And there's going to be 7 figurines: Harry, Hagrid, Hermione, Dumbledore, Ron, Snape. Who am I missing? Is that everybody? Voldemort. And they look great. So people who love pop vinyl figures, and I know there are a ton of people, rejoice.
They look like Hello Kitty.
Yeah, you kind of do, yeah, don't they?
I was just going to say I have a few from Game of Thrones until you said that.
I do have a few. I have Daenerys and Tyrion from Game of Thrones, but then I have Belle and the Beast, Disney ones. They belong to my girlfriend, but they all have the same trademark, like black eyes, like, you know, it's like just pupils. But the Harry Potter ones look really cute. Really, really, I like every single one of them. They seem to somehow capture the character in a way that is, I'd say, above average for the pop Funko dolls. And I will say that I like how Hagrid is
oversell it now.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I do when I'm passionate about Harry Potter stuff.
Well,
but anyway,
look, it's fine. I think if these were around during Potter's heyday, they would have sold millions of them.
Yeah. I think they will still sell millions, actually.
Yeah, one of the things that they do with Funko is they occasionally have a figurine that's taller than the others. So Hagrid is the one that's, you know, bigger than all the rest, which makes sense. An ad came up. But I will say that Hypeable's giving me ads now. Come on, guys.
Yeah, there's ads on Hypeable. It shouldn't surprise okay. you.
No, it's like I can't turn it off. How did it – wait, where'd it go? I clicked the X. Where did it go? All right, it's done. I was just trying to say there's Frozen. Disney's Frozen. They have, I think, the snowman. Not Olaf, but the snow creature that Elsa creates to kill everybody or whatever, to guard her temple, whatever it is, of ice. That's the one in that set that's super big. So now it's Hagrid. So that's really exciting.
Okay. Well, you won't have to buy the Hermione one if you already have the Belle one because Emma Watson...
Oh, hey, you're right. You're right. I'm just going to buy all the other Harry Potter ones and then have the Belle one in there next to Harry.
All right, so that's enough for news. Micah, you're going to bring back an old segment. Quote, yes. quiz.
Yeah, so I initially titled it. Yes. Now that you mention it, I do, especially the way that the quiz trails off at the end. Mm-hmm. Laura, Lisa, do you remember it?
I do.
It still haunts Laura and her nightmares.
I don't remember if I was very good at it.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
Yeah. So, see, when we were planning this show, I was going to call it Whose Line, but I somewhere in the back of my mind, I remembered that we had done this before. So, Eric, thanks for pointing it out that it was called Quote Quiz.
Actually, you got to thank Terrence Pinkston, host of Hogwarts Radio, because I called him today and I was like, do you remember this segment that we used to do? And he was like, it was called Quote Quiz. And I was like, oh, yeah, apparently we used to do it after Chapter by Chapter to preview.
Yes.
The next true. Week's chapter. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So and it was called Quote Quiz. Quiz.
All right. Well, okay. Why don't we actually do it?
Yeah.
All right.
Longest good. Intro ever.
No, we're just setting the stage. Come on, man. Anyway,
well, there's nothing in the doctor.
In that case, Andrew, yeah. You can go first.
Great.
So,
Sorcerer's Stone.
Well, you have to give the character
crap.
As the book, so you get extra points.
Oh man!
Well,
I'm gonna fail at this.
So the first quote, Andrew: never trust anything that can think for itself if you can't see where it keeps its brain.
Oh, this sounds so. Is it Dumbledore?
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, I guess.
That would be incorrect.
I think I know that one.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. Well, we can open it up to the group now. That
wasn't it, Mr. Weasley, Chamber of Secrets?
Yes, it was.
Hey. Oh, I just almost celebrated by saying a bad word that does not go on this show.
Oh, Ken, we've
grown up. You can do that.
Older now, you could say that.
Okay.
What was it going to be?
A word that I feel is appropriate for a show like Millennial and not this show.
Okay, fair enough. All right, Trollope. Next one.
Well, congratulations, Laura.
All right, next one will go to Elisa.
Yes.
I say there are spots that don't come off. Spots that never come off. Do you know what I mean?
No way. That's not.
I do, but I'm afraid I'm not sure.
That is definitely for the other show.
I'm going to guess.
Okay, so I see there are spots that don't come off. Mad Eye?
Yeah.
That is correct.
Oh. No way. Are you serious?
Yeah.
I just pulled a name out of a hat. That's a miracle.
And what book?
I don't. I mean, I want to Goblet of Fire.
That is also correct.
Wow. Yeah. I think he's talking about Karkaroff, right? In the scene?
Oh, yeah, the Dark Mark.
Yeah, he's talking about how Karkaroff isn't reformed, although he's really deflecting because he's secretly Barty Crouch Jr. But
yeah. So I totally thought you were trolling her for a second, Micah. Like, I thought you picked a quote that was not even remotely related to Harry Potter.
I was going to attribute that to Laura, actually.
All right, Eric, this one's for you.
Oh, great.
You should have realized if Voldemort didn't kill you, we would. Goodbye, Peter.
Why does he get the easy one? What the hell?
That would be Sirius Black from Prisoner of Azkaban.
That would be incorrect.
Wait, what?
The book is correct.
Okay.
Says Lupin. It is wrong. It is Lupin.
It is Lupin, huh? Lupin's the one who actually says, you should have realized that we would kill you if Voldemort didn't.
Prisoner of Azkaban, chapter 19.
No kidding, because he's the one who isn't quite so hasty to kill Peter, and Sirius is the one who really is. Huh, okay, I admit.
Maybe it's Sirius who says it in the movie.
Yeah, I think it is.
I wonder. Well, anyway, wow. I'm so ashamed.
All right, and one more?
And finally, for Laura.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we're all going to be very good friends.
I have no idea.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Him.
What?
Him.
Is there a squirrel on the show? Are you dying?
Laura's ready to hit end call on Skype right now.
Sorry, guys.
I know what Eric's doing.
As I flip through every page of every book for this quote.
Okay. and then the book would be Order of the Phoenix.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
That is correct.
Redeemed.
That was tough, though. I mean, that could be really.
Well, if I would have.
I was thinking back to, like, okay, did somebody say something on the train to Hogwarts in the first book? Like, I was.
It could have been Draco.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, Draco. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's how we play quote quiz. Micah, out of curiosity, how did you. Did you just go into the books and randomly pull stuff out, or?
Mm-hmm. Well, oh, okay. I also looked for quotes from different characters, like more obscure characters, not just, you know, the Dumbledores and Hermiones of the world.
Right.
Because I think that makes it a little bit more challenging. Everybody knows Dumbledore's quotes, I feel like, for the most part.
Yeah, he does have a few of those very memorable ones. No, nice work. I'd say that that was a pretty successful, pretty challenging segment.
I like that game.
That's a
good
game.
So that's an old segment. And now here's a new segment. I'm calling it Pen and Paper Are My Priority. Of course, this doesn't really relate to this segment other than the fact that that's all J.K. Rowling would tweet back in the day. But now she tweets a lot. And if you go on some sites, including Hypebol and MuggleNet, but to a lesser degree on those sites, people love to report on what J.K. Rowling said, no matter how minuscule it was. But so she's tweeting a lot. And I thought every episode we could start looking at some of the tweets just to update everybody, like Laura, who doesn't keep on top of everything she's tweeting, because she does tweet some interesting things. She's tweeted some big things, and then there's been medium things, and then there's been completely useless things. And we tried to cover them all in this segment if we're not talking about them in the news. So here are a couple updates for everyone. She offered advice to a budding writer. Somebody said, so I have this issue in my writing. I am too invested in my characters and my plot ends up sidelined. Could I get any advice? So I think it's really cool to get some advice from J.K. Rowling on Twitter. Yeah. Like, that's pretty huge. So J.K. Rowling said, character can be plot. Plan, and plan, but stay invested in those characters. She also addressed the next Cormoran Strike book. Somebody said, can Robert reveal the title? And J.K. Rowling likes to speak for Robert on Twitter, which it always amuses me. She said, Robert shares my only writing superstition, which is that I only type the title page of a novel once the book's finished. So apparently J.K. Rowling still not finished his next Cormoran Strike novel because she hasn't revealed the title.
Unless it's Goblet of Fire, then she comes up with like five of them that change.
Well, no, I mean, she doesn't say that she doesn't have the title. She just said that she doesn't type it out on the page. So it hasn't been written down like in the book yet.
True. But I think in another tweet, which I didn't include in here, she said something about as soon as it's finished, she'll let us know. I don't know. But I thought it was interesting to learn her writing superstition, which is that she only types the title page of a novel once the book's finished.
That's kind of cool. There's like a finality to that. It's like, because the title page is the first page that you see.
Laura and Elisa will like this one. She tweeted about a big news item. Jon Stewart is leaving The Daily Show, one of my favorite TV programs ever. That's major news to get over your morning tea. Hashtag British grief.
God bless her.
Yeah, there was a lot of American grief going on over here as well. It's very painful.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys remember, it was at the Harry, Carey, and Garp celebration in New York. How many of us were there?
We were all there.
John Stewart opened for J.K. Rowling or introed introed her.
Mm-hmm.
That is the only time I've seen him live, but I really loved. Didn't he tell a story about his son reading Harry Potter?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
I don't remember specifically what he said, but Yeah, I think the two of them have crossed paths at least two or three times in their professional lives. And it's clear that they have like a mutual admiration for each other. So
yeah. J.K. Yeah. Rowling was on The Daily Show once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. To promote The Casual Vacancy, I think.
It was somehow a really good that. Interview.
Oh, that's
of course it was. It. Those two are amazing.
Yeah, they are.
So then J.K. Rowling will get goofy tweets, like somebody tweeted to her, "What should I do with my life?" She responded to this. She said, "Ideally, something that makes you happy and doesn't involve serial killing. Can't be more specific without further information."
I love that she specifies serial killing as though, yeah, you know, if you kill one person, though, that's cool.
Yeah.
Just not more than one.
Serial killing, you have to kill, I think, three people for it to be serial.
So I got two more tweets. Somebody tweeted to her, "What's your favorite brand of tea?" She said, "Lancashire tea. I'm drinking it right now."
Huh.
And then finally, here's a tweet. I think she gets asked this a lot because she seemed kind of aggravated by it. She was tweeted a question on Tumblr, from Tumblr. "How come when Harry gets bitten by the basilisk in Chamber of Secrets, that doesn't destroy the Horcrux in him? Someone answer this." So J.K. Rowling responded, "The Horcrux receptacle has to be destroyed beyond repair," in all caps. "So Harry would need to have died," in all caps. And then # "Please never ask me that one again." I think she's fed up with that one.
She's getting feisty.
Yeah.
A little feisty in that one. Although that question to me is kind of, I mean, I think it's pressing, right? Because there's this whole Harry would have needed to have died, but yet dying was like what saved the day in the end, him dying. So I'm still a little bit confused over that question, but I'm going to obey her #
No, I will say, though, she does do a lot of cool stuff. She tweets about sports from time to time as well, and she actually made a bet. I believe it was with somebody in Italy. No, this is true. And she bet a signed copy of a book for some Nutella, and I think she won at the end of the day, but she thought, you know, so much of the person that she decided to actually send them the signed book anyway.
Oh, cool. Wait, wow. Some Nutella was on the other side of the bet, the treat?
That's what she wanted. That's what she...
Oh. I would love to send JKR Nutella. I wouldn't touch the stuff myself, but...
Okay. So that's our new segment, Pen and Paper Are My Priority. I hope everybody likes it, because she tweets a lot of interesting stuff on Twitter these days.
She really does. She really does, and I'm grateful for that recap. That's some really good stuff.
No problem. I will continue to keep an eye on it. You know, I get mobile notifications every time she tweets because I want to stay on top of her, but I've been thinking
don't
about turning...
we all.
Micah.
What is this, millennial? Come on, man.
But, sorry, that was just too easy not to say.
You shouldn't have quit, Micah. This is what happens.
But what was I going to say? Oh, I may turn off mobile notifications because she tweets so much, but I want to stay on top. Not in that way, though. Okay, so another new segment here. I thought we should do a kind of a look back, a flashback, if you will, this month in Harry Potter history. We're only going to be able to do this for a year because otherwise we're going to start rehashing things.
So wait, first of 12 times only.
Yes, limited run. So this month in Harry Potter history, actually, this first one is pretty fitting. We only have two items. 14 years ago, Quidditch Through the Ages and Fantastic Beasts were published. This was in March 2001. Do you guys remember buying these?
Yeah.
I remember coming home from school one day and my mom had bought them for me.
Oh,
sitting on the table waiting
mom.
For me.
So I can't remember because it was so long ago. Were we like excited when these came out?
We didn't know each other when these came out.
No, I know, no. But like personally, like when
I didn't even know Potter yet until that year, until November of that year.
Oh,
this is 2001, and it was after the movie that I mean, I didn't even read the books until 2002 in like June or July, and so I'm trying to think when I would have read these companion books, but I probably would have read them after Goblet, you know, in that 3 year gap, or which was only a 1 year gap for me.
Yeah.
Of those books. But I remember liking the books because they're quite creative. They have this like cheekiness about them. I know with, was it Quidditch Through the Ages? She has those, the writing in the margins of like people who've previously checked the book out. And Fantastic Beasts is just funny because of all the beasts and like what their classification is. It's just like really interesting stuff.
Well, and don't Harry and Ron write in the margins of that one as well?
I think so. Maybe the writing in the margins is Fantastic Beasts, and I'm confusing them. But I remember like in the book.
They're both have it.
I think they both too.
Yeah. Oh, okay. They're both really funny. And with Quidditch, I remember liking the real like the origin where like Queer Ditch March was like or Marsh was like the place where the golden what was the bird? It was like a bug or a bird or something that was like the original golden snitch.
Yeah.
Snidget, maybe? Golden Snidget, something like that. Anyway, it's just like totally made up crap, but it was so fun to think that it could have happened that way.
And they are cool because they benefited charity. They benefited comic relief. Over 80% of the cover price of each book went directly to poor children in various places around the world. And it was J.K. Rowling's first sort of like extra Harry Potter material, because it came out after Goblet of Fire. So, and now we're getting a movie trilogy based on one of them.
I'm really glad these exist. And Tales of Beetle the Bard was meant to be a private thing until eventually that ended up going the same route.
Right.
By being published, you know, much later, like 10 years later. But I'm so glad for these relief books. They just make the world a little bit more fun.
You know, I do remember actually buying these, though, because I didn't read the Harry Potter books until 2004, so I don't remember them being released. But I do remember buying them because I felt like I didn't buy them until like 2009 or something, because I felt like, okay, you know what? I'm obviously a Harry Potter fan, but I'm not going to be that Harry Potter fan that goes out and buys like every little thing. I'm not going to take it to that next level. Like it was some weird kind of like power thing. And then, you know, 2009 came around and I thought, you know what? Screw it. I'm already moderating Harry Potter fan fiction. It doesn't get any nerdier than this. I'm going to finally buy these books.
Right.
Yeah, and then like half the set. You guys should see the inside of her bedroom.
Listen, just because I have a few wands doesn't mean anything.
You also have a time turner, don't you?
Yeah, you have so much stuff.
I have the Triwizard Tournament Cup. A few different things.
Very cool.
I assume some of those were gifts, right? I was giving you an out, Elisa.
They're gifts. Thanks, Eric. Yeah, that's what they were.
Elisa, I'm glad you mentioned the fan fiction thing. For anybody who doesn't know, Elisa used to run MuggleNet fan fiction.
And now it's out there.
I wanted people to know.
And I imagine there was fanfic based on Newt Scamander. I mean, even back then, probably one or two, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, there's fan fiction based off of everything. You should have seen some of the stuff we got.
Everything.
Yeah, well, that's probably what the movie's based off of. One of the Newt Scamander fan fictions.
Probably. J.K.R. was hurting for an idea, and she went on MuggleNet and went and found it.
And on the fandom side of things, March 2007, 5 years ago, it was only, wait, am I doing that
Not
math
eight
right?
years
no.
ago?
Wow. That's okay. Andrew has done more successful math earlier in the episode.
Right. Thank you. So March 2007, 8 years ago, was the debut of The Mysterious Ticking Noise, released on YouTube by the Potter Puppet Pals. It has amassed 159 million views on YouTube.
Wow.
After being uploaded March 23rd, 2007. Let's listen to a little bit of it.
I've never seen this. Mysterious.
You've never seen it?
Well, no. Micah, brace yourself. It's going to be stuck in your head.
Kind of catchy.
Snape's a puppet.
Snipe. Severus Snape. 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 Severus Snape.
Dumbledore.
Snape. Severus Snape.
Dumbledore.
Snape. Severus Snape.
Dumbledore.
Snape.
Ron.
Severus Snape.
Micah. I want Micah to redo that with Micah Poppet popping in. Micah.
Oh, yeah.
Dumbledore, Micah.
That'd be awesome. Maybe for the 10th anniversary in 2 Marches from now.
Yeah.
We'll all make puppets of ourselves and go do that. Potter Puppet Pals are amazing in general, but this particular video for me is it's just my favorite thing that Neil Cicierega, who created Potter Puppet Pals, has ever done. It's catchy.
It made him who he is. I mean,
famous.
Yeah, that was his big video.
Yeah, it's really the syncopation, the beat,
I hope he monetized
the rhythm,
it.
The cuteness.
Oh yeah, you have to sit through an ad to watch that thing.
Yeah, but it's so worth it. Also, there's actually a there's a following. People at HP cons for the longest time would try and recreate it with their pals. There's actually, if you search Mysterious Ticking Noise, you'll get the video, but then also there's a ton of people doing it. Just Harry Potter fans out in public, inappropriate places, appropriate places. It's really inspired a generation. There I go, overselling it again. But it's a lot of fun. I can't believe there are still people in this world, Micah,
this out after the show,
who hadn't seen it.
Yeah, Micah, I seriously want you to record your own version of that with Micah in it. Micah.
All right.
Seriously, go and do that.
Month show, I'll do it.
Okay, thank you.
Every name should be Micah's name, so like all of them is just Micah.
It'll be like John Malkovich, right? Being John Malkovich, he goes in that world and they're all Malkoviches. It'll be
exactly
Micah. Yep.
Now it's time for another old segment. This one produced by Eric this episode, at least.
Yeah, I'm giving up. You guys do it next time. This was very challenging, but it's a lot of fun. This was recommended or suggested by our good friend Tracy, Tracy Wong, who runs our transcripts, Smugglecast Transcripts. And I asked her what kind of segment she would be interested in seeing again from old Smugglecast. And the answer was, make the music connection. Which never before had that trill on the mumma, but hey, it's new and it's old at the same time. Andrew. I have you running this for me through the soundboard, but viewers at home, sorry, listeners, may remember that Make the Music Connection was a spinoff of our other segment called Make the Connection, wherein the British Jamie Lawrence would just make stuff up and we would have to connect it to Harry Potter. Make the Music Connection was a more contemporary twist where we would play a clip from popular music and or really any song in general. And based on the lyrics and the beat, each of the MuggleCast hosts on the episode would have to draw a connection to the Harry Potter world and Harry Potter characters, situations, that sort of thing. All based on that music clip, whatever one that they got. Each person gets their own clip.
So who wants to go first? Micah, I'm choosing you.
Since I chose you before.
Micah, I know, is always on top of top 40, so this should be no problem for him. Sorry for using the on top of thing again.
No, that's fine.
Okay. Micah's always below top 40. So.
Bringing it back.
All right. So here you go, Micah. Make the music connection between Harry Potter and whatever this song is about to be. If I'm a pagan of the good time, my love is in sunlight. Keep the goddess on my side. She demands a sacrifice. Drain the whole sea. Get some. Okay, so that's clearly Take Me to Church by Hoosier.
Hoosier Daddy?
Yeah. Micah, oh my gosh. So what? So
make
dirty.
The connection. Make the connection.
I heard a lot of Take Me to Church.
Yeah.
Me to Church. Well done. That is the title.
Wait, that's not... Oh, excuse me. That's not hairiness.
What?
Connected to Harry Potter.
I know. I'm trying. There's no churches in Harry Potter that I know of.
Oh.
Don't you dare bring religion into this, Laura Mallory Micah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot about her. I don't know. It just seems like almost like a theme song for somebody, but I can't put my finger on it.
I would say Trelawney. Trelawney's theme song.
As she's drinking in the
yeah
tower.
Yeah.
And she's
Go ahead.
It actually kind of reminds me, this is like, this is probably reaching a bit. That's one of my favorite songs. And the whole song, if you listen to the lyrics, are about like just a man being sort of head over heels, ridiculously in love with a woman to the point where like, he'll just accept. He's saying like, take me to church. Like I'll worship at the shrine of your lies and all this shit, or excuse me, all this stuff.
And are you going with Bellatrix here?
No, I was actually, oh, that's a good one though. I was actually going to go with Snape and Lily Potter, but, Bellatrix is awesome. Bellatrix and Voldemort would be pretty cool too.
All right. So next one, Laura.
Okay.
You ready?
Here, I'm ready.
Here we go.
Yeah, it's pretty clear. I ain't no size two, but I can shake it like I'm supposed to do. Cause I got that boom boom that all the boys chase. And all the right.
That's Dumbledore.
Right.
Oh, no. I see this is so clearly about Dudley Dursley and his battle against childhood obesity.
Nice. That's how the game is played.
Perfect.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay. Eric, you want to go next?
Yeah, I'll go.
Here's the next one.
Nice to meet you, where you been. I could show you incredible things. Magic, madness, heaven, sin. Saw you there and I thought, oh my God, look at that face. You look like my next mistake. Love's a game, wanna play.
Taylor Swift and Blank Space. Make Banks Blank Space make the connection.
Oh gosh. Just that thing about showing you magic. There's a little bit of Hagrid in there for me because he shows Harry the magic world, but mostly it's like I'm thinking young Lily and Petunia, who's experiencing the wizarding world for the first time through her sister. Okay. But maybe it was a mistake to show her that world because she ends up resenting Lily. That's the best I got.
Okay. That's good. It's no Dudley Dursley, but...
Yeah, it's good. Definitely not any Dudley Dursley. I think Laura's going to be the MVP of this segment.
All right, I'll nominate myself for the next clip. I'm scared.
Okay.
Why am I so emotional? No, it's not a good look and some self-control. Deep down I know this never works, but you can lay with me so it doesn't hurt.
All right, so that's obviously Sam Smith, Stay With Me. I mean, gosh, you could go a million different ways with that one.
It's definitely like Filch singing to his cat.
Oh, nice.
That could be,
nice.
I'm going to also go with Voldemort singing to his Horcruxes.
Ooh.
Please stay with me. Stay well with done, me. You're all I true. Need. I mean, truly, that keeps them around. Okay. And then this last one, let's just do it as a group since we've all participated at this point.
Okay.
If we show up, we gon' show out. Smoother than a fresh drop. Skip it. I'm too hot. Call the police and the firemen. I'm too hot. Make a dragon bone a retirement. I'm too hot.
Good thing this is a group one. Uptown Funk by Mark Ronson and that popular guy.
Bruno. Featuring Bruno Mars. So hot, you make a dragon want to retire. For me, that's First Task Harry from... because he gives that Hungarian horntail, in the movie, a chase. In the Tribes of Tournament from Goblet of Fire. That's what I'm going to suggest. What do you guys think?
I just see it as a song that's like playing at a party inside Weasley's Wizard Wheezes.
Yes, I agree. Ooh. I was going to say this reminds me of the Twins like theme song. I can see them strutting down a runway to that song.
Well, somebody should bring a boombox into Weasley's Wizard Wheezes at the Wizarding World and make that happen.
And maybe hot doesn't have to be literal. Maybe it's the orange in their hair, like the fire hair kind
of
thing.
There you go. There you go.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right, so that's Make the Music Connection. That was fun.
Whoop.
Okay.
So another kind of former segment that we're continuing here on the new MuggleCast is Question of the Week. We ask people who follow us on twitter.com/MuggleCast and facebook.com/MuggleCast. You're Professor Umbridge in Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, and you want to create a new educational decree for Hogwarts because you're in a particularly bad mood. What's your new rule? So the most liked submission here on Facebook is educational decree number 104. Students who receive less than perfect marks on any written assignment must serve detention listening to slam poetry by Argus Filch.
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
Sam wrote in, on Wednesdays we wear pink. Christine said, educational decree number 57 and a half. Everyone must walk one broomstick length behind each other. Failure to follow this decree results in punishment by chaperoning the teenage mandrakes. Oh my gosh.
I love
that. These are creative.
That
took some thought there. Those teenage mandrakes who are crawling into each other's pots, right?
Yeah.
You got to chaperone.
Yeah, they are.
That's not going to happen. Yeah, they are.
Oh, my God, help us.
Welcome back to the land of the wakefulness, Micah.
Matthew Goldenberg said, no posts on Sunday. Rachel said, educational decree number 112. All Muggle-born students must perform the worst song in Muggle history in front of Hogwarts on their birthday or on a holiday. If this is not done, they will be forced to constantly listen to it for a week. Oof.
Ha. Huh. What is the worst song in Muggle history?
Probably one of the five we just listened to.
I was going to say it probably has to be by Taylor Swift.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was a little harsh, but the end, what? End times, end of days.
You just insulted our entire audience, Micah.
Maybe
not the first
years
time
ago.
You've done that this episode.
Yeah, this is the only time that he's insulted anybody this episode.
Let's see, what else do we have here?
Oh, I like this one from Danielle Breitstein, who says, educational decree 394, students are forbidden from the use of fractions. And decimals are required. Decimals are 100% required. For example, the Hogwarts Express platform will here on out be listed as platform 9.75.
That's just mean. I like this one. Educational decree number 87. Students who receive detention must clean Professor Dolores's kitty plates without magic. So thank you to everybody who participated. You can participate yourself by following us on Twitter. twitter.com/MuggleCast or facebook.com/MuggleCast. Speaking of those, I am so happy to say that the MuggleCast Facebook has reached 80,000 likes.
Wow.
That's a lot of likes.
Wow. That's insane.
It's funny because when we stopped regular episodes of MuggleCast back in like 2011, it only had like 30,000 likes. but it's grown because we're continuing to post news on there. So thank you to everybody who liked us on Facebook. So those are our two social media channels, and then of course MuggleCast.com. Elisa or Laura, I want to tell everybody about Millennia, our new podcast that we're also doing with Matt, who will also be on a future episode of MuggleCast sometime.
Yeah, let's talk about it a little bit. So Millennial, the hashtag is silent. It's very important that you know that. There's a hashtag in front of the title. The show was something that we had all been talking about doing since, what, November of last year?
Yeah.
So we put a lot of planning time into it before we launched it. But essentially, the idea is that it's the millennial perspective of things that are going on in the world right now. But we also have some fun games that we play. We do pranks and other stuff like that. It's just a really fun show, a really great balance between serious news and the way that we just kind of bullshit our way through some other stuff. So I definitely recommend you listening to it. It's, I think, a really, really great fusion of personalities as well. We have really great chemistry with each other just because we've known each other for so long, 10 years.
People who used to listen to Smart Mouths will recognize that it's sort of similar to that, but it's a new take on it. And we're in a podcasting, a golden era for podcasting, as it was recently described.
podcast renaissance.
Right. And I mean, that's one reason we wanted to bring back MuggleCast. And that's a very large reason for why we wanted to launch this new podcast. And of course, Laura, Elisa, Matt, and I are all really good friends, like Laura mentioned. Even on the MuggleCast site, if you go to the homepage right there, you can see Laura, Elisa, and Matt with Jim Dale back in 2010.
My gosh, that's a throwback.
That picture's still up?
Still up.
Yeah, it's still up. We haven't changed the layout yet. Maybe we will.
I mean, if you guys, if at the very least you want to hear stories about some of the crazy stuff we got into while we were at Harry Potter conventions, then you should go listen to Millennial.
Yeah, that's a new segment idea.
Stuff we did at Harry Potter conventions.
I'm interested.
Eric, you know some of it.
I know some of it. There were times when I was locked out of the room or not invited, but I will say that. Do I want to know what was going on?
Or Ben stole your razor blade. Didn't you do that?
For your own safety.
Oh my God, I remember that.
I did flip out more than I should have on Ben for the razor blade. That was one of my proud moments.
I forgot about that. Oh my gosh.
It was bad.
That was crazy.
It was bad.
The funny thing is Eric still doesn't even shave, so.
Well.
Yeah, he didn't even need the razor.
Super funny.
Speaking of the pictures on the MuggleCast website at the top, one time I actually met a girl in one of the pictures after we had launched this redesign, and I recognized her, but I didn't know what from. And I was like, I know you from somewhere. And she's like, yeah, I'm on the top of the MuggleCast site. I was like, oh, that's how I recognize you.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You've seen me from your website.
Right. So anyway.
Where's my loyalty check, Andrew?
So visit millennialshow.com. You can grab the podcast. It's there. It's also on iTunes. And you can listen to it every week.
This sounds like a great show. I really am going to give it a listen.
Yeah, if you listen to the first 7 episodes, you'll hear Micah. But he decided the show's not for him. And it's okay.
Well, seven's a good number. You know, I forgot to write in the doc. I was going to ask Laura if there was a P.O. Box update.
So, funny enough, I still have a huge bag full of stuff that we got at the P.O. Box.
Really?
That I just never got around to sending because most of it was general.
I want it.
Yeah, I want it. I want it more.
So here's the funny thing. I took over the P.O. Box in the day because Ben originally ran it. And if you guys recall, he was terrible at it. He never checked it. He never sent anybody their stuff. And so I was like, screw you, Ben. I'm taking over. You don't know how to do this. And now I have all of this stuff sitting in my closet in my parents' house.
Now you're not mailing it out.
Now I'm terrible at it. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm going to be in New Orleans next week. Maybe I'll drive to Cumming, Georgia and pick the bag up.
It's really close. It's not a far drive.
I don't know if you're kidding or not, but I'm kidding. So anyway.
I want that stuff. I want that mail.
And Mike and Eric also wanted to plug their podcast, Game of Owns.
Game of Owns. So I don't know how many people who listen to this podcast also watch HBO's hit series, Game of Thrones, but the 5th season of that show is just about to premiere 1 month from tomorrow, or perhaps 1 month from today, depending on when this episode airs. And we go through right now we're going through the books in the off season, or as we like to call it, the on season, kind of reminiscent of what we used to do with chapter by chapter on MuggleCast. And it's a really great world, great series. Each book is like 1,000 pages long, so you know there's just a lot of stuff, and the adaptation is very rich. I won't say faithful because things are changing, but it's very rich. Micah, what do you think?
Just like Elisa said, I agree with everything that you just put out there. No, I think it was a good summary of the show. And, with the season just about a month away, we're excited. We got a trailer earlier this week that we'll be talking about in an upcoming episode. And you can check us out, gameofowns.com or facebook.com/gameofowns, @gameofowns on Twitter. It's pretty straightforward. We tried to make it easy for people. So, we appreciate it. If you're interested in the show, or the book series, give us a listen.
All right. And as always, you can go to the MuggleCast website at MuggleCast.com, Twitter.com/MuggleCast, and Facebook.com/MuggleCast. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Laura and Elisa, thanks for coming on. We'd love to have you on again in the future.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It was fun.
It was fun.
No problem. Say hi
to Jim
Dale for us.
Always great to talk to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Micah.
Yeah, Micah, I'm sure it's going to be like another 6 months before I see you, so.
No, we're going to plan something. You have family.
You guys live in the, you guys live in the same city now, right?
That's what I'm told.
Well, going into, I have a good feeling. I have a good feeling about this 12th quarter of the show that we're going into right now with episode 276. I feel like we'll be hanging out with each other once again, like we used to.
Harry Potter brings people together. This August will mark MuggleCast's 10th anniversary, if you can believe that. Oh, so
yeah, it will. Yep. Yeah, it will.
All right. We'll see everybody in April. Feel free to send us an email, any feedback about today's episode, any suggestions for what we can do in the future via social media, or maybe email MuggleCast@gmail.com. I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Eric Skull.
I'm Micah Tannenbaum.
I'm Laura Thompson.
And I'm Elisa Montfort.
Oh, look at that. That works so well.
Oh, my God. It was like we just went right back into our old MuggleCast format.
I love this. Fantastic. I love everybody here right now.
Aww. All right. Bye, Eric. All right, we'll talk to you. We'll see you all next time for episode 277. Goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Nice to meet you. Where you been? I could show you incredible things. I can't do it if people are laughing. It's going to make me laugh. Magic, madness, heaven, sin. Saw you there and I thought, oh my God, look at that face. You look like my next mistake.